Law and Gospel, the Reformation Solas, the Theology of the Cross, the Means of Grace, Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
When Adam and Eve are in the garden, does he just say, look, I think based on this experience, we've all learned how bad this was, and they just walk away with this heightened consciousness of who God truly is, and that's the end of it? No, they will surely die.
That divorce is permanently damaging for yourself, for your children, for your parents, and our culture.
We think we're going to remain relevant if we can make common cause with the culture. And what's happening now, of course, is many people are abandoning the church because they can't see the difference between the church and the culture.
William Paul Young is an extremely dangerous Bible twister who's not bringing to you what Scripture says. He's bringing to you a theology crafted in his own heart.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites played in their entirety. You listen, then you vote. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. The Reformation treatment of the Sermon on the Mount comes to a climax, if you will, with probably the most famous and accepted words of Jesus. People who will deny what Jesus said in almost every other respect, deny who Jesus is, deny what Jesus has done as the Savior of the world, still love the golden rule. Now, don't they? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How does it fit into the Sermon on the Mount and Luther's treatment of it? It's part 56 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We're in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 12. The golden rule and what follows doesn't seem to exactly fit the narrow and wide gates. We'll see what they're doing there. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Tickled to be with you today.
Here's our text for today, those three verses. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Focusing for a moment, Ken, on that 12th verse, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Luther says this pretty much summarizes the whole thing. What does he mean?
Yeah, it is a bit of a jarring statement when you hear Luther say it, but he says, really, this is kind of the end of the sermon. Now, Todd, you've heard sermons, and so have I, that kind of ended several times, and I think Luther's kind of figuring the Sermon on the Mount's the same way. But at least this is a crescendo and capping point of the sermon when Jesus says, the golden rule, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. Luther paraphrases, it's like Christ were to say, would you like to know what I've been preaching and what Moses and all the prophets teach you? Well, it's not all that long. It's not that complicated. Do what you would have others do to you. And Luther says, if this were our standard, if this were the standard that we were observing all the time, then for one thing, we'd always have plenty to do. And furthermore, we would not need a bunch of holy books to tell us of various holy lives to emulate, nor, Luther says, would we need lawyers.
Now, the criterion is personal, you say. It gets in your face. Tell us about that.
Well, Luther points out how personal Christ is making this here at the end of the sermon. Whatever you would want others to do to you, that's what you do to them. Well, everybody knows they don't want to be the victim of robbery. They don't want their wife or their daughter, Luther says, to be corrupted or saddled with a bad reputation. Nobody wants to be injured. Nobody wants to be maligned. You can go on and on and on. Well, okay. Now you know how you should act toward others. And Luther says you can go through all the way through the second table of the law and draw out appropriate applications, commandment by commandment by commandment. This is a way Christ is making it all memorable, though. And he says this is summarizing Moses and the law. So, obviously, Luther says, let's pay attention. Let us not be inattentive.
We can see, he says, we can see Christ saying, reflected in all kinds of life's circumstances. What does Luther describe there?
Yeah, as he's making it personal, he really wants to kind of press upon people how personal Christ is at this point. Whatever you want people to do, do that to them in every single aspect of your life. And so the various even things you have around you can remind you of this basic maxim. So Luther says, if you're a manual laborer, by the way, this is one of my favorite Luther quotes. If you're a manual laborer, you find that the Bible has been put into your workshop, into your hand, into your heart. It teaches and preaches how you should treat your neighbor. Just look at your tools, at your needle or thimble, your beer barrel. I know, Mrs. Luther, sooner or later we'd get to the beer barrel. Your goods, your scales or yardstick or measure. All this is continually crying out to you, friend, use me in your relations with your neighbor, just as you would want your neighbor to use his property in relations with you. Now, of course, the other side of that is to say, you really don't have the right to do just as you please with your possessions. You don't have the right to manage the things you have just the ways you want, as if you were the Lord of everything. This is service.
It's not only reflected back to us in every circumstances of our life. Luther says that this should make us, what does he say, blush for shame over ourselves?
Yeah, well, of course, this is where the second use of the law, as we sometimes call it, the law as an accuser, comes into play. Yeah, we are going to blush in shame over ourselves. And we kind of make ourselves witnesses against ourselves when we have certain ways that we want to be treated and we don't treat others that way. Well, then we're kind of already admitting that we're falling short. Luther says, in a case of wrongdoing, if somebody acted this way, you'd call him a thief and a villain. Then why are you not ashamed of yourself? Why are you not ashamed when you fall so far short of the standard that really it's Christ himself setting here? And remember, Christ says we should not only receive good, but we should be actively doing good. So Luther says you should be the first to treat others the way that you would want to be treated. Don't wait for them to do it first. And if you do something first and they fail to reciprocate, well, that's okay. Treat them well anyway. Don't be diverted by anybody else's example, however bad it may be. This is an eloquent preaching of the law, and Luther is just bearing down on it full bore. He says, if you were not such a heinous and brazen person, you would be ashamed. It would give you pause. In fact, it would make you so afraid that you would be unable to remain at rest anywhere on account of it.
He calls it a sermon in your heart. What's he talking about?
It's this sermon that comes from my own sense of what I would like people to do for me, with me, to me. That becomes the way I should treat others. Luther says, in your whole existence, in every task in which you have contact and dealings with your neighbor, you have this daily sermon in your heart. And from it, you can easily learn to understand all the commandments and the whole law, how to control and conduct yourself personally and socially. On this basis, you can easily decide what is right and wrong in the world. And that's why Luther says this is summing up so much of what Christ has said so far in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's not summing up quite literally everything in Moses and the prophets, though.
That's a caveat that Luther has here regarding the content of the prophets and of Moses.
Yeah, there's also the promise. There's not only the law, even there in the Old Testament, there's also the gospel, as Luther says here, the promise. But at this point in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, verse 12, Christ is not talking about the gospel or the promise. Luther says he is not preaching here about the sublime doctrine of faith in Christ, but only about good works. And again, Luther characterizes Christ as saying, when the time comes to preach about the good life and about the works which we should perform in relation with our neighbor, you will find nothing in all the law and the prophets except what this saying teaches. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them.
With that, Luther says, Christ has stopped preaching, but Christ goes on. What's next?
Well, now there are a number of warnings for the rest of Matthew 7, basically, that get us ready for hindrances that we're going to encounter in this world. Christ has been warning about hindrances to his teaching already since the middle of chapter 6, and it kind of goes on here. As Luther puts it, see, now comes the toil and trouble of applying it in life. It is really a hard and tough life to be a Christian or a pious man, and it will not taste sweet to us. So Christ is warning us in advance that this is a narrow gate and a narrow way, and it's very different from that broad way that leads to destruction that so many people like to follow. He's warning us about all this in advance so that we don't get flustered when we encounter opposition, when things get difficult, when things begin to turn sour on us in the Christian life. We don't forsake it. He's already told us how it was going to be.
Luther also describes this as, for lack of a better word, a common frustration encountered by Christians of all time.
Yeah, of all time, even in the Old Testament. I mean, in the Bible, all over the place, there was the complaint that the wicked seemed to do so well in terms of this life. I mean, just when you think that they're finally going to get their comeuppance, when things are all going to fall apart for them, doggone it, if time after time you don't see things going well for the wicked. And that gets frustrating for God's people. The Psalms are full of this kind of crying out to God about this very kind of thing. Now, against all that, Luther advises everyone should live as though he were alone and should consider God's word and preaching as the very greatest thing on earth. When he says, think of yourself as alone, he means don't think about how well this one's doing or how sumptuously that one is faring. Just consider your own place before the word of God. So he says, think this way. When I'm all alone, therefore, I am still not alone, because I have the word of God, I have Christ with me, together with all the dear angels and all the saints since the beginning of the world. Luther says, when you think about it that way, you begin to see that you have more with you than the wicked have with them. And that's an important realization. Luther says, you got to hold on to that if you want to endure.
Luther even admits to some of his own kind of personal doubts.
Yeah, he says there are times when he too has been tempted to think along these lines, not only with respect to his own person, but with respect to the Lutheran cause and the Lutheran church, fledgling as it was at that time. He says, I've been tempted to think, we're so small a flock, and what right do we have to defy the whole world and boast that our cause is right? I mean, can so many other people be so wrong? And yet, what is Christ saying? It is that wide and easy way that attracts the majority of people. The majority not only can be wrong, the majority at any given moment are wrong. And Luther points to various biblical examples, New Testament and Old. He points to Mary, in the New Testament, the mother of our Lord, a poor, unknown young woman when the angel first came to her. Or back in the Old Testament, Abraham, whom God called out of his father's house. Remember, his father's house was a family full of idolaters. Nobody expected that anything great would come for the Lord God out of Abraham's family there in Mesopotamia. And yet, with Mary, with Abraham, and with so many others you can see in the scriptures, they're not diverted by the thoughts of others. They're not diverted by thinking about what others are saying or doing, thinking about what others are saying or doing about them. Instead, they focus on God's word and hold to it in faith.
And Luther makes mention of his famous trio of flesh, devil, and world.
Yeah, he said that's part of what makes this whole way so narrow and difficult for us. It's the world, the flesh, the devil. The devil, of course, let's save him. Luther saves him for last. The flesh would like to ride that wide and comfortable road. The flesh thinks that's the preferable way to go. The world hounds us, slanders us, disgraces us when we try to walk that road. And there's the devil who tortures the heart with evil thoughts of unbelief, fear, dread, and despair, any of which could potentially send us right off that narrow road onto the wide road to destruction, where at least we have some what seems to be temporary relief from the rigors of the Christian life right now. In fact, Luther says, the life of a Christian is as hard as if he were walking on a narrow path. In fact, on nothing but razors. Beneath us, in the world, is the devil, who is continually snapping at us with his jaws in order to bring on us impatience, despair, and murmuring against God. In addition, the world is advancing on us, and it refuses either to yield to us or to let us pass. And around our neck lies our own flesh. Thus we are hemmed in on every side. Luther runs the trio of the flesh, the world, and the devil one way, ending up with the devil and his great power to tempt, and then he goes the other way, the devil, the world, and the flesh, making the point that the flesh is so intimately bound up with me. It's who I am. And yet not who I am as the new person in Christ.
Is there comfort in the midst of this narrow way?
Yeah, and it comes to that new one in Christ. God is standing right next to you, Luther says. And remember, there is that heavenly inheritance he has in store. So in the meantime, keep clinging to the word. When we do, then all of a sudden the narrow gate turns out to be a wide room, and the little flock is a huge crowd. That's the great freeing power of the gospel. You've probably experienced this too, Todd. All of a sudden, one day, you have the gospel really hit you, and you say, this is not confining. This is exactly what I want to do. This is exactly the vista that the Lord has opened up for me, and I want to walk right through that door he's placed before me. So Luther says, if we accurately total up both sides, the believers have the advantage. Therefore, they should not want to trade places with the wicked. The fact is, we can have a joyful heart and a joyful conscience in spite of the fact that we are weighed down a little and pinched by the devil in this world. That's Christ's promise here.
Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's Issues Ceteris Soundbite of the Week. We'll play our four sound bites, and then it'll be your time to vote and pick one to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, Saturday and Sunday, March 18th and 19th at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Featuring over 50 exhibitors, including many new vendors, as well as recycling and shredding services on site. And on Saturday from 12 to 2, join home and garden experts from Mosby Building Arts, Priscilla's Nursery, and many, many more, as well as local media personalities meeting and greeting with show visitors. And don't forget, Fred Bird appears both days. Sunday is Family Safety Day, provided by Glennon Safety Kids Program and Sports Care Team. Pet adoption services on site. Visitors can register to win a $500 voucher for pet grooming services, compliments of Tina's Pet Grooming in Edwardsville, Illinois. Check them out on Facebook. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Free admission and parking. Learn more at mehgs.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.